Hi, let's continue talking about this problem-solving tool called dedication or commitment to truth. It's a big subject, it's a big one, and so I have a lot of things I'd like to keep sharing with you and teaching you about this. Many years ago, I made a decision that I would question everything I thought I believed. And if it was true, it'd stand up to questioning. All my questions about God, about myself, about my family, about my mother. I questioned everything. And I was asking God for his truth, that I could see through the lens or the eyes of God. And so that was my experience. So I can't encourage you enough to think about this commitment or dedication to truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, and truth will set you free. So truth is critical. Satan says he's the liar, the deceiver. He's the great deceiver. So there's two sources of beliefs. One is coming from the kingdom of heaven. One is coming from the kingdom of darkness. And how do we know what truths we're believing, if they're which kingdom they're in? By their fruit. How they affect you, how you feel, how you're, all these good things. So I'm going to talk on this section here. We've been talking about truth, but I'm going to talk about this subject of the, I'm going to call this, your view of the world is like a map. Think about it. If you're going to travel across Europe someplace, you would have, or across the United States, you would have a map out. Or even in Florida, I get a map out, and we're going to follow the map to get to the destination, to the place I want to go to. And I think I asked you up front, whose map do you live by? Whose map are you following? Who do your map? Is it your own drawing of your own map? Or is it something that you learned and developed as a child? So we're going to start out with this concept to think of truth as like a view. I mean, not truth, but as a, that in order to live life and navigate life, we have to have a map. And so the more clearly that you see, let me back up for a minute. The more clearly we see the truth and reality of the world, the more clearly you see the truth, the more likely are that you're going to make better choices and better courses of action, and wise decisions. So truth is essential to us. Truth is essential to you. If you want to be satisfied with your life, like Abraham and Jacob were at the end of their long life, you want to feel satisfied with it, then you must be on a journey for truth at all cost. You must choose truth over the lies. You must choose God's truth over whatever other beliefs you're holding on to. So we're talking about, think of your view of the world as like a map. The more clear you see the world, the better are you going to make better choices. The map is something that we use in order to navigate or negotiate life. If your map is false and full of, if it's full of lies or pretensions or half-truths, or hypocrisies, then we're not going to negotiate our conflicts and problems in a life-giving way. So if our mind is, our view of reality is loaded with lies, deceptions, pretensions, fantasies, imaginative thinking, fantasy world, so to speak, then we're going to make choices and navigate life not very well. I think we've been talking about that. What happens when we don't navigate life very well? What begins to break down to us? We end up in midlife developing autoimmune disorders, all kinds of things which tell us we're off, our map isn't right that we're living by. So think of your journey in life as like a map, and you need to update your map. But making your map is difficult. Making a new map is frightening to people. We don't like to make a new map. The more effort you, I'm trying to read my notes and talk at the same time, right? It's not going too well. So I read the notes for a moment. The more effort you make to appreciate and perceive reality, the larger and more accurate your maps of reality will be. The opposite is true also. Our view of the world narrows and it misleads us if our map is not updated, if it's not accurate, if it's not full of truth. But to change your map, to update it, requires a lot of effort. When you get new information, new insights, I talked, I think, the other day about getting new insights, new understanding. When you get many new insights and understandings or revelations with God or experiences with God, then you need to update your map of how you see God and how you see the world and your place in it. I still do that. I still have to update my map of how I see God. Yeah. and old ways of seeing him. In fact, yeah, it have to change. Because, yeah, God, anyhow, I won't go that one direction. So it's painful sometimes to update your map because you have to let go of the way you saw things before. And they're very important to you. Perhaps they were very valuable to you in childhood. And they helped to save your life as a child. But when we grow up, our maps need to be changed. It needs to, because child, they were coping mechanisms, they were ways of defending ourselves. We had many lies that we believed. But making a map requires that we have to surrender something. We have to let go of our old ways of thinking. And it requires almost the death of some of our precious ways that we want to see, that we have to let them go. It's kind of like a death and a rebirth. Think of it like that way. If we keep on using your old map, you're not going to do very well. But if you let go of your old ideas and receive God's new truths or new ways the reality is, I mean, science gives us new truths, right? You grow up and you think drinking the water with fluorides in it won't hurt your teeth. And then science came along and said, oh no, the fluoride will hurt your teeth. And my son had to go get all of his teeth whitened and so on, because as a child, the water he had made a line across the bottom of his teeth. So science helps us update our maps, but so does God, so does the Bible, so does making your own experiences, so does having suffering and crises and neurotic symptoms, so do our dreams. They all offer us a way to help us update our map. God is constantly wanting to enlarge us and to increase us, to make us more full and more alive. And so it's important that you understand the concept of the map. Your view of the map is something of how you navigate your life journey by. And if your life map or this is not worked well for you, then it's time for you to look for a way to update your map. And we're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit more, but I'm trying to do some shorter recordings, so it makes it easier just to get one point out. So we're talking about making our maps and how important the map is. But one of our problems is we are living by an outdated map. We grow up and we take and transfer onto our adult world all the things that we experienced as a child. So I'm going to read my notes on this. For most of us, our view of reality is still a microcosm of our family, but we transfer it into our larger adult world. So we fail to transcend the influence of our culture, our particular set of parents, our particular childhood experiences, upon our understanding. We tend to believe what the people around us tell us and what they believe, and we accept their truth as our truth. I always heard my grandmother say, oh, you can never trust a man. So you grew up with that lie. I can never trust a man. My husband had the belief system, no matter how hard he tried, it would never work. So he took him decades to get rid of that lie. These lies are embedded in us as children, and they're coming from our experiences in the family or how we saw mother and father. So it's called transference. This is a psychological term, transference. We carry forward into our adult world a set of ways and perceiving and responding to the world developed in childhood. It's a way, transference is, we articulate, it's a word, I don't know how to say it in German, we re-express our old family dynamics now in the present. It is bringing the old family dynamics and projecting them into the future and into your present situation. I remember hearing a story about a woman who, as an adult, had a husband and came in from work, and he grabbed her from behind, and she was frightened and cried out, because it brought her back to what happened to her as a child when she was sexually abused. The memory of that and the painful lies buried in that, that had never been healed, was thrown onto her adult experiences now. I won't go into more examples of that, but it's articulating your family dynamics. Remember, I think recently in our group, we talked about post-traumatic stress disorder is higher in the grandchildren of people who went through World War II, who experienced the camps. They have a higher rate of PTSD, that means post-traumatic stress disorder, than the children, grandchildren who did not. So that shows you something about how the map that their grandparents had and the belief system they developed during World War II, during those experiences, either in the camps or out of the camps, but especially in the camps where there's so much horror and pain and trauma for those families. And if those are never healed and resolved, then the energy and the belief systems are passed on to the children. Then the children carry them forth to the grandchildren. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that talks about the sins of the fathers go to the third and fourth generations. The word sin means something less than God's best for you. It's not God's truth. Sin means to miss the mark that God had. God has a mark for us of righteousness and of love and of healing and wholeness. This is all the things that Jesus has made possible for us. But when people don't go to Jesus and find healing for those things, their map has never been updated. They're still navigating and living their life with the old things that happened in their parents' life. When my mother said to me, "Nothing's wrong, go back to bed," when I saw my father on the steps drunk, I didn't know what drunkenness even was. I hadn't even heard the word. I didn't know what had happened. But you doubt your own reality. You doubt what you see. Because, they're lying to you. It was a lie. And children are much more smarter. They want the truth. They don't want the lie. We all hunger for truth. Today, our young people across the country don't know what truth is. They're looking for reality, and where will they find it? I hope I got that across. So the transference is the map we use unto our adult life until we update it. And this map that we have from childhood is the influence of your particular family. It's not so much about what they said to you, it's what they did. It's not what they told you, it's how they behaved toward you, toward their partner, toward the other children in the family. It's how they actually behaved. It's the faces that they had carried. My mother would always look very grim in her face, and when it came time for Dad to come home from work, I could see, just looking at her face, it was like a mirror to me of the tension and anxiety she was carrying. Would my dad come home drunk or not? Would he be over at the bar? So my mother's face became like a mirror that kind of gave me the emotional sense, even though mother never told me the truth. But my mother's face was like a map to me of what was really going on in our family at that time. So we project those fears. This is why I said to my husband, "You could never have beer in our house." So I tried to bring that old map, my fear of beer and alcohol, into the house. I was afraid of it. I didn't want my husband to have it. I think I told you this before. But my map had to be updated. My fear was a tormenting fear. Fear is not good. Our fears that are tormenting us, and we've talked about that in some of my groups many times probably. But fears, there are 4,000 different kinds of fears, I've been told. But they torment us. And God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's the truth. Your fears are not from God. They're coming from some other place, the pit of hell. Fear has torment. But God has given you the spirit of power and of love and a healthy mind, a strong mind, a good mind, not filled with lies and not filled with things that are not true. And this whole, our view in the family also affects our view of how we see God and how we see who God is. It's simply a collection of how mother and father were. We take like a snapshot, and that's how we see God as our Heavenly Father. We see Him the same way we saw our mother and our father. If our mother and father were loving and forgiving and caring, we saw God that way. If our family was harsh or punishing and deceiving us, we saw God that way, that we couldn't trust God. So that's why we need to update our map. One more thing I want to add right here is that Scott Peck talks about in this book, The Road Less Traveled, that often he's found with his clients that their view of how they saw the world is captured or in the earliest memory. How we see the world, our map of the world, and our place in it, can often be found in our earliest memory. So on the study notes, I encourage some of you who have not done this before with me to draw, find your earliest memory and draw a picture of it and bring it to a group, and we'll talk about what, how you saw the world and your place in it as a basis of that earliest memory. I hope you got that. Basis of your earliest memory. Draw a picture of it. And it captures for you the early experiences in childhood. The reason is why it's, that happens is because it was such an important time in our life. How this, where we're barely, we're very young. We don't know how to see the world. And so we choose a memory and it captures it in our brain and holds on to it because it helps, provides a map for us of how, what this world likes. So one of our problems is that we never updated our map into something that's basically more true when we're confronted with new information. So in closing, this part, this discussion is, how do you respond to new information? When you heard new information, how do you respond to it? Here's four different ways some of us respond to new information. We ignore it. We won't listen to it. Or we become aggressive. We call it a work of the devil, or it's dangerous, or it's heretical. Or we attempt to manipulate the world and the information. We're trying to kind of make it, change it back to what I believe. We try to manipulate it. Or we try to expend all of our energy to defend my view of the world, to defend the way I see it. I don't know how many arguments we've had over the early years of our marriage in trying to defend the way I saw something that happened. And Jerry would see it so differently than I did. So I'm defending my view of the world, and it didn't have my map updated enough to see it through the eyes of God and how to recognize what was going on. So how do you respond to new information? I'll close now and let you think about this, and I'm going to make another recording about what dedication to truth looks like. Thank you. Talk with you again.